CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning, CliffCentral.com on a Friday from a very, very sexy Cape Town on my part, and Ben and Simpiwe in the studio in Johannesburg. Cape Town Sevens happening here, so lots of people very excited to be in Cape Town for this weekend. It's basically just another excuse as if we needed one to party. Last night was first Thursdays, but the last one of the year, obviously December. So there was plenty of activity in Cape Town. I went to this new place called Rita's, and that's where I bumped into Gord Laws.
Ah.
Also saw one of my varsity friends, Zanya, who's down here. And she and Gord know each other too. And, you know, Cape Town's like a small village. Everybody knows each other. So lots of good people having lots of fun. It was actually a really, really good evening.
Well, that's great.
Not too bad.
And it's great seeing Gord just being Gord, you know, just living his life.
He was having such a happy time. And he did say something that made me think that he was feeling a little bit second best. Because so I invited him because this other friend of mine said she'd seen him. And I hadn't thought to invite him. So he arrives and goes, "Oh, well, I'm glad to be on like your other list, your B list of people."
So like, insensitive, Cliff.
Thanks very much. Like, come on. Like, I have to keep I have to keep tabs on everyone in Cape Town so that I don't leave anyone behind.
It's Gord. I mean, he's put so many hours into the show over the year. He's done so much. And then you just flippantly go, "Oh, yeah, Gord, how's it put?" Yeah.
No, exactly. Gareth, don't feel bad. No.
Please don't worry. I don't feel bad.
That's why I'm giving him shit.
I feel nothing.
Yeah. Here's Ben trying to
don't worry about that. I haven't felt bad since probably the 90s. So don't worry about that. Okay, so let's just talk about, we spoke a little while ago about the Beckham documentary and how amazing that was, and everybody is still raving about just how cool David Beckham is and how amazing it is that he and Victoria have managed to stay sane despite all the fame and the fortune and the trials and tribulations. And I think that maybe the Beckhams aren't the only example, but Ben's been watching the Robbie Williams documentary.
It's very good.
And funny, he came up in conversation yesterday too, because I remember when he came to South Africa and I emceed two of his concerts in Joburg and Cape Town. So I met him a couple of times. And Robbie Williams, I mean, he's still in some ways a really big star. But at that stage, he was a monstrous, unbelievable force of nature. People just went fucking gaga for Robbie Williams. He was just this amazingly cool guy. And in his little window period, he was probably one of the biggest stars in the world. Wouldn't be too much to say that.
Absolutely. I think he had the right kind of music for that time as well, when you could still be like a white leading male who just wants to hook up with chicks and drink. Like, that archetype was still a thing, right? You could still market that, you could sell it, and it was okay to actually be a fan of it. And he was like the last samurai of those people. And what I find interesting about Robbie Williams' documentary and the Beckham one is, like, if you go onto Netflix, I know there's other people who do incredible work, but they've redefined what a documentary actually really is. There is just these incredible moments of engagement, the way it's edited, the way it's shot, and the way the story is unpacked. And Robbie was kind of, you remember those handheld, there's actually kind of one here that's staring at me right now, this camera, and it was the original camcorder. So I reckon Robbie was at a time where people started using those all the time. So he has archive footage coming out of his ass from every single aspect of his life, which makes the story so believable. Because every aspect, the B-roll is like, well, there he is with Jerry Halliwell. And there he is with Take That. And there he is drunk and fat and all of these things. But what it always brings back to me, and I watched this again, you know, when you watch The Crown, you watch this again when you watch the Beckham thing, how incredibly shit the UK media is. They are absolutely...
Oh, they're the worst.
Absolute piranhas. They're like the worst of the worst kind of people, and how they're sort of ruined lives. Because I often have this... I'm kind of torn between these two mindsets, right? It's like, oh, shame, famous people. They're so incredibly rich, everyone loves them, and then they want to moan about their depression. But if you actually look at how this kind of stuff mounts up, firstly, it's not normal to go into a room and everyone loves you before you've said anything. It's certainly not normal to go into a stadium with 80,000 people screaming and shouting at you before you've done anything. Okay, obviously you've become famous, that's why they like you. But then you look at what the press does and how it mounts up against these people. And I won't spoil it if you haven't seen it yet, but there's this moment where the guy can't do it. He's like, fuck, I can't. But if he doesn't go on stage, then he'll be sued, basically, because, you know, once you sell tickets and all this kind of stuff, you've got literally 1,000 people who are working for you. Their livelihoods are going to be screwed too. So it's like gun to your head, dance, monkey, dance. And that's what it comes to when you're on this, like, that level of celebrity. It's a scary kind of thought.
Yeah, I mean, we like to, and as you say, Ben, you kind of vacillate between our shame, it must be really tough, and fuck you, you're like a rich celebrity. How bad could it possibly be? But I don't think it's always fun and games. And I think a lot of those people have big mental health issues.
Huge. Because it's so hard, like they reach such highs, like all drug addicts, right? Mm-hmm. You reach such highs, you have nowhere to sustain it. So therefore your come down is terrible, or the way you try and maintain that is equally dangerous to you. So there's no natural equilibrium where you can actually just be in a state of, this is me. And if you're not in that state, I reckon you are unraveling inside at a rapid rate.
Yeah. You mentioned something.
You also, go on, Simpiwe.
No, like Ben mentioned something about like the B-rolls and how like they don't need to actually get stock footage. It's him. It's actually him doing that. And I think that's also sometimes the scary part is like someone took that not knowing that one day, someday it's going to be used for this documentary. Yeah,
probably just a bit of fun.
But it's there. It's like, oh yeah, he was drinking or he was tired and boom, like you see it in real time. It's also, I think that's also scary that how much of our lives are actually captive, like captured on TV or phones now, like every other day we're on Instagram and then you don't realize in 20 years time that could be used for your, you know, your donkey.
Yeah, the embarrassing part is that we're capturing how dumb we are. So a lot of people are actually taking evidence every day of how useless and ridiculous and stupid they are. But didn't Robbie Williams, Ben, I've forgotten what happened to him at some point, but he kind of went off the boil and he started growing vegetables for aliens or something like that. He really went completely off the reserve, didn't he?
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm pretty much almost done with this documentary now and I have not seen alien vegetation.
Okay, well, that's what I heard. At some point.
Possible.
He did try to lead a fairly normal life at some point and kind of he didn't tour for a little while. He's apparently doing a tour at the moment. And in fact, someone who was listening to us on Wednesday sent a message to say that they just saw Robbie Williams live in Perth. Ooh. And he was brilliant.
Cool. Yeah, he was actually there for the, because you know the AFL there is the biggest sport. And he played like the grand final when I was there 2 years ago. Mm. Yeah, he's still a huge name. Okay. And he gets to do it on his own terms now because he's got so much money. Like his house is beautiful. I mean, I'd also go through some mental anguish and breakdowns and
for
stuff.
That house, sure. For that,
yeah. I mean, his mouth looks a bit puffy because he's been smoking cigarettes his whole life. But, yeah. I mean, he's fine. Mm. Like, he's doing okay. Mm-hmm. It's always – there's so many good parts of this documentary we can discuss at length here. But I always look at guys who become older and have the tattoos. Mm-hmm. And it starts to look a bit weird, you know, when you go to, like, the droopy pecs and you're hairy and out of shape, but you've got your –
and a saggy ass. And that's always the worst.
But you've got your 20s. You've got your tattoos from your 20s. It's like when an old guy puts like a tank top on that's got like, I don't know, that he got in Thailand when he was young. It just looks odd. And that's what tattoos look like on older guys.
Yeah. I agree with you. Quickly dates you and it doesn't look good. Doesn't look good. A tattoo, if you're over 50 even, I think it starts to look like you're either a prisoner or a sailor or both.
Yeah, but you got to live for the now, huh? You got to live for the now because that's the thing is he'll look back and like, that was me. My tattoos, all that kind of stuff, that was me. I wonder if he even watches his own music videos now.
No.
Well, it's like those people who go back to high school to kind of relive their glory days. It's like the rugby captain and they were
No, that you see, I can understand if he's like Robbie's like, oh, back in the day I used to be able to pull any girl because you're an adult and you achieved all that greatness. You want to tell me about high school? You want to tell me about when you were still 12 or 13?
I think Robbie Williams could still pretty much pull whoever he wanted. It's a combination of confidence and money and having a story to tell. And I mean, There are going to be so many. There are going to be so many girls who would be interested in him just because he's Robbie Williams, right?
Sure.
People want stories to tell. Always comes back to it. But it's interesting how he talks about how he met his wife, and it was quite a, again, spoiler. But he met this woman, and obviously she wanted to meet him because he's Robbie Williams. So she's like, I met this party. He's like, I don't do parties. Come to my house. What girl goes to someone's house on the first date? She gets there. There's no lights on. He's like all depressed and all this kind of stuff. What girl then stays?
Wait, what do you mean?
I mean, like, this oak's made no effort. He's aloof. He looks like he's having a tough day. She's left her friends to come and kill you because this is the pool of celebrity, right?
Yes. I get to say I was in his house and I nursed him back to health.
So this is the thing, right? So then he decides, no, let's go back to your party. He goes there, does a line of coke, and then completely loses the plot. And she still's like, no, I like this guy. Worst first date ever.
They had a spark, okay? There was a connection that she couldn't understand. She didn't know what it was, but it was magnifying, and she just had to see it through.
So this is my final point about being celebrity, and they all go, oh, it's so dangerous. It's like, yeah, but you can just turn on life whenever you want. Like, if he wants to be liked by someone, all these women will like him. Sure, he'll find the best one out of the 3 million who want that. Yeah. Your average guy out there who's like rubbing one off to AI porn, he doesn't have that luxury. Ugh.
The fact that he's busy with AI porn is just he must be thrown away.
I know. I was just trying to close the loop on that.
It's also cool that he was like a big star when being a big star actually meant something. Like, and music could make you millions of dollars, and you know, touring was like a big thing, because that's not the case anymore. I think that, you know, apart from maybe Taylor Swift and Beyonce, there aren't really people who are killing it in music at the moment, because it's become so kind of pedestrian.
But also music's just lame. I mean, like, Robbie could go and he could bust out Angels, Feel, Rock DJ. I mean,
like, you had Yorkshire Girls going, oh, Loveen Angels instead.
Exactly. Yeah. But the thing is, you could be in a stadium and that song would make sense. A lot of music nowadays, you're in a stadium, what are you doing? Looking at someone having a breakdown, because that's what lyrics are about. About someone
They're
being...
just twerking. Let me tell you, I'm upset, and this is why I might not go to a lot of concerts, because all they do is just twerk or walk up and down, and then they, you know what I'm saying, and then they let the crowd sing like 90% of
boring.
The song. I came there for you. You better perform and dance and sweat and
dance, monkey, dance is what Timpi was saying.
That's a fair point.
She demands it. Max says, Ben, tell them about his favorite pub burning down.
Max, I haven't got to that part yet.
Was that a spoiler for you?
You've ruined the whole thing, Max, just like that.
Oh, no. Now you're not going to watch the documentary
I was watching the final episode last night because I wanted to be up to date for the show to talk about it. And then he starts talking about how his life got great and stuff. And then I got distracted and bored. And then I just, I've got like the second half of the last episode to go, where the pub burns down, clearly.
Where his favorite pub.
Come on now.
Yeah,
I used to tease my dad because the every restaurant when we were still all living at home, my brother and sister and I, we were all still kids. My dad used to love a certain restaurant, and then we used to go there all the time whenever he wanted to go out, and then the fucking place burned down, and then he found a new place, and then that place burned down. So we started to say, we started to say to him, basically anything you like is gonna be some arson involved at some point.
That's quite
so we
a
just
run.
Stopped going to restaurants with him. Yeah, it's bad. He was poison. He was kryptonite for a restaurant.
Same time as Prodigy were really big as well, I take it from the storyline. they had a song
I'm
about
a
that.
Fire starter. That twisted fire starter. Arta. Correct. All right. Ben, are we seeing you again this year, or is this your last show?
I'm here next week.
Very good.
The 15th, correct?
Excellent.
No, the 15th is a public holiday.
It's the Friday.
Public holiday.
Correct.
When December officially starts.
So what, are we just not doing it?
We're not doing Friday next week. So I think this might just be your last show, Ben.
Well, 22nd, I'm in Cape Town. So, I mean, I can call in.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah, what the hell? You might have some good fun stories for us about Robbie Williams' favorite pub burning down. Who knows?
Well, I mean, pubs burn down all over the place. Maybe I can be in one the night before and then really make it a story worth having.
All right, beautiful. Ben Karpinski, everybody, and you can find his sport a little later on as a podcast. Cheers, Ben. We'll see you in 2 weeks for the last show. Yeah, it's almost the end of the year. And listen, this is where you've got to just take a big deep breath, because when I say 2 weeks, that's like basically Christmas. When I say 3 weeks, it's New Year. And then before you know it, we're in January of 2024. So it's fucking mad. Let us now welcome to the show for the first time somebody who has been killing it on social media. He's official Clean Cut Scully on TikTok. He is Grant Renickel. He is a content creator. He lives in Cape Town now. Initially, he created this Clean Cut Scully character as like a fun thing. He just did it as a blog at the beginning of 2018 because he just wanted to mess around and have some fun. But subsequently, he's created scripts for all kinds of satirical skits, and he does loads of very entertaining stuff on the internet. And here he is with us this morning. Hey, Grant, how are you?
Gazzy, my boy.
Dude, hey, I saw you.
Long time.
I'm good. It's nice to see you. I saw you promoting this on social media. You said, like, my older brother, Gareth, is on with me.
My long-lost older brother, Gazzy Clove. Miss old Gazzy, bro.
Yeah. You guys look alike, eh? Like, wait.
You think so?
No, yes. You know, and the difference is that you look like you have been very well taken care of, Gareth, and excuse me, Scully, but
Computer, you don't know the half of it. Like, I actually need to take one moment to thank Gareth Cliff for all the free drinks I've gotten and some of the goals I've hooked up with, just because I look like him. So, Gazzy, thank you, my friend. You've actually like sorted me out without even knowing it.
You know what? I'm so happy to hear that, because I thought looking like me would be a great burden and a terrible, terrible insult. But if it's helped you in any which way, then I'm delighted, my friend. Then power to you.
No, it's helped me a lot. So actually, thank you very much. I actually have been needing to thank you. So yeah, I mean, finally, I've made a sort of a name for myself now. But before that, I was Gareth Cliff from Pep, so to speak.
Wish. Yeah. So listen, I mean, that's very mean, because I think you are you're a tremendously funny guy, and I follow you on all the social medias, and it's clearly like blown up in the last little while. So people love Clean Cut Scully. You do all these brilliant skits, and you basically take the piss out of Joburg boys, because there's so much piss to be taken, right?
No, there's a lot of piss. I mean, like, I'm not gonna lie, I think boot culture is something that's so fucking interesting. Like, you know, where in the world do you find like boot culture? You know, I think is when I first moved to Joburg, I mean, I love Joburg. A lot of people don't know I'm actually born and bred Cape Town, but I lived in Joburg for over 5 years. I consider myself half a Joburger, half Cape Townian. But boot culture, I just think it's fascinating. Like, you get boots here in Cape Town and stuff, but Joburg boots is just like so like iconic. You can't get that shit anywhere else in the world.
So is Joburg just full of people who are like a caricature of themselves, or do they lack so much personality that they all just conform to the character that you put on, like this Clean Cut Scully character? Because I've met people who actually sound like that.
Yeah,
they do the same thing every week. They go to the same places every week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they have girlfriends who are like carbon copies of each other.
100%.
It's you wish it wasn't as real as it is, because it's kind of it's sad. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, no, it's yeah. Like I said, it's fascinating. I'll never forget. I went to go watch a big fight at Carnival. What's it? Carnival City.
Carnival City, which is the worst. Awful place.
I was in Joburg for my first 6 months, and I was like, "Lick, I'm going to go watch the EFC at Carnival City." And like, I saw some boots there that were just like out of this world. Like, those were juiced up, tatted up, and I was just like, "No, this is just wild. This is like fascinating." So, yeah, I mean, I loved Joburg just for like, you know, that experience. You know, I mean, this happened because I went to Joburg, and it's crazy. Yeah, I don't know if it's in the water or if it's in the air, like why oaks are like this. I fucking love it, though. I think it's amazing.
I think that maybe what happens is also in order to fit in and to feel like, you know, you're one of the guys in certain situations. People do conform to like these caricatures and these stereotypes. But you're actually like, you're in advertising, and when you're in advertising, it must be nice for you to have this escape of being this character some of the time, because a lot of the time in advertising, you're thinking about clients the whole time. You have to conform. You have to put out like fucking 100%. Pictures and copy and do, but you've got cool clients, because some of your clients are strip clubs. I noticed from
it's amazing. Like
you've got Mavericks here in Cape Town, which is just so cool. and Chivalry, which is in Boxburg. You got to tell us about those.
Oh my gosh. Chivalry,
don't spend too much time on Boxburg. Don't do that.
Well, shout out to Chivalry. They're like my best client in Joburg. Very easy client to work with. Like you said, Gareth, like, and I actually appreciate that you can understand that, like, because in advertising, exactly. You got a lot of clients to please and, you know, like very like, you know, blue chip brands to work with. And a lot, 90% of the time or 99% of the time, you actually can't do what you want to do. So that's actually how Clean Cut School started. But like, Chivalry is wild. Really nice strip club. Should go check it out. They have a steak, egg, and a strip special for 100 rand. So if you guys...
Oh, there we go, Sophia. That's what you do. If you're looking for something to do in the East Rand this weekend, just steak, egg, and strip.
A steak, egg, and a strip for 100 rand, my rear. It's unbelievable. Man, this is what I say. Joburg is fucking incredible. Like, where would you find that in Cape Town? Joburg is amazing. Like,
I love that.
Oh, I love that so much. Steak, egg, and strip. I mean, in order of priorities, it may be the wrong way around, but that's pretty much every Joburg guy sorted out in terms of
that's it.
All he wants for the rest of his life.
That's it. A piece of steak, an egg, and a doll dancing in front of you with a hole in your face while you're eating a steak and an egg, my bro. Are you kidding me? That is the dream. I can die happy now. Like, I'm ready to go.
Oh, I love it.
Shit, that's incredible. Do you ever get shit from people? Because when you do the like four ways book thing, you meet people and they think like you know how people are. They always think that everything's about them. Even if it's got nothing to do with them. Like, you didn't base this character on one particular person.
No.
But it's like a broad range of like assholes that you've just put into one. But you must meet people occasionally and then they go, hey, are you like taking the piss out of me? Is it all about me?
Funny enough, no one gives me any shit, especially like any sort of butt or whatever. Like,
if they just love it.
And they're like, dude, we fucking love your content. It makes me laugh. Funny enough, I literally get like minimal shit. Sometimes on my posts, I get stuff where people like chirp me. But also, if you follow me, you know, like, I'm uncensored. I don't like give a fuck. Like, you know, I tell it like it is. And like, you know, I get a lot of O buddies. Fuck, on Facebook, it's really bad because like you can see I'm playing a character and stuff, right? But you get these O buddies. And you know, very old people, they feel like they have to let you know their thoughts. Like, they have to let you know their fucking opinion.
Yes.
And they'll write literally like an essay in a caption, tuning me and be like, I can't believe you said this. Like, are you crazy? That is disgusting. And like, obviously, like, I'll just do like a one-liner, like ripping them really hard. And then they also get like so shocked. Like, oh, I can't believe you said that to me. Like, it's like,
they don't just laugh at it because now you're giving them special attention.
Yeah.
No, they're like, how dare you talk to me? You should know that I'm Simpiwe Mthethwa telling you to stop doing that. And if you don't stop, I'm going to report you and I'm going to tell everybody that I know to stop watching your content.
Because they're like so entitled. It's like, no, like if you're going to come on my page and chirp me about my content, like, of course I'm going to let you have it. And if you follow my page, you know, the last thing you want to do is tune me because I also like trolling and causing shit. So I'm going to rip you another one. Like, so, you know, and if you don't like my content, you know, as with everything in life, don't watch it.
Unfollow
you know?
It. Yeah. I've never understood people who get upset. Yeah. If people are going to go and follow somebody and then they're pissed off with what they're doing, I just don't get it. Like, you have the power to just get this out of your fucking world and instead you decide to torture yourself and stay here. Do you ever have to take anything down? because you think it might have gone over the line? Have you ever had situations where, I don't know, you may have said something controversial and you thought, oh God, this is going to get me into trouble with my clients? Or because we all work, everybody thinks free speech exists, and to some degree it does. But the reality is there are, no matter how free you are, even if you're Elon Musk, you sometimes have to do things to please sponsors, advertisers. Do you depend on any of the Clean Cut Scully stuff for an income?
So I do, but it's not my main source of income. So luckily, I still do have a day job. So that allows me to be a little bit more free and help me be as uncensored as I want to be. But 100%, you know, you are right. You know, sometimes you do have to like be careful or like, you know, worry sometimes. Funny enough, I've actually never had any video like really blow up where I'm in trouble. But also, I get away with a lot because I'm a satirist. So I play different characters and stuff. So a lot of the things that I have done, if I did them as Grant, I would have been fucked long ago. But because I play characters and I play on stereotypes and stuff, you can't actually, you know, be cross with me. Like, for example, you know, the infamous Sacha Baron Cohen, you know, Borat back in the day, and Ali G and stuff, you know, like he says a lot of controversial shit, but he's playing on stereotypes, you know, and it's not coming from him. And it's satire. So you can't get upset unless it's me blatantly coming as Grant, like saying something straight up like horrendous, you know.
And I mean, but you even say in your bio, you know, this is satire, this is parody, this is fun.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are stupid and they don't understand that you're actually just trying to have a good time and make people laugh. They think, oh, no, this guy's, he's genuinely got an axe to grind, or he's taking it. And politicians, you often go at them and they have very brittle, very sensitive egos. So it's probably no surprise to anybody that occasionally those people don't enjoy when you climb into them and make fun of them.
No, for sure. I mean, there was only one video before I posted it. I was like, fuck, am I really going to post this? It's like this might blow up. So, you know, it was back when, you know, the whole gender thing, which is still going on, you know, people still like, you know, that war's still going on.
But, Simpiwe's a they, them. Aren't you Simpiwe?
No. I identify as Simpiwe.
And, no, I'm kidding.
That's all.
You know what Bad Brad's pronouns are?
No, please enlighten us.
So Bad Brad, if you just in case you know, he's like one of the boot characters I play, Bad Brad, and his pronouns are Royal Oaks and Pomp Dolls. That's his pronouns. But I had this video that was gonna go, that I was very, the only video where I shat myself, I was like, fuck, like this could go really
bad.
It was like a year or two ago when the gender thing was really like, even like very hectic. So I created this parody satirical skit where, you know, like, I wrote the script where it's like, you know, in a world where like people are identifying as this and that and people don't know who they are and blah, 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 that sort of thing. And, you know, you get like colognes, you know, like for men and women. But like, if you don't know like what you are, you know, like what cologne do you use?
Yes. So I created good point.
This, you know, what do you wear? So then I create this fake perfume called Calvin's Clit. Calvin's Clit, you know, so no matter what you identify as, you know, it's a cologne for you, Calvin's Clit. So, I posted that, and funny enough, it didn't blow up like at all. Like, I posted this, and before I was like, fuck, RIP, this could be the end of me. And I posted this thing, and it did like average, like very, very average. So, I didn't get canceled or. And it didn't like blow up.
I'm very happy because I don't see the point of cancel culture. Again, if you don't like something, don't follow it. There are so 100%. Few people who have any character. And if you could take the piss out of people online, and your Bad Brad character reminds me a little bit of, I saw him last night, Gord Laws and his Four Ways, Hard Eddie.
And the game he made is really good.
So good. And Boot Fighter, which was like his game. And I mean, Gord in some ways pioneered that stuff. But the king of South African parody and satire was Casper De Vries, obviously, who used to do all of those characters on TV. And
legend.
And Casper is a genius. He did that. Who was that guy who used to do the school? And he always had like cokey pen all over his hands. And
yeah, I know.
Like transparencies. William Smith. William Smith, who used to do like the extra maths on TV.
And all that shit. Yeah. And
yes.
I remember that. That was fucking excellent.
God, he was awesome. So just plain Jared wants to know, is that World Cup tattoo you got on your leg real?
Okay. So, it's not real. Yeah. So I don't know if you saw, I did this tattoo before the Rugby World Cup, where like a week before the game, I put the tattoo on my leg. So yeah, it was not real. And it's going to be interesting how some people might take that. Like I saw some people in public and they're like asked to see the tattoo. And then they saw like I didn't have it on my leg anymore. And they're like, you know, what the fuck? I thought you got the tattoo. And I'm like, you know, no, it was, you know, just a PR stunt and whatnot. But like when people ask me about it, like, why did I do it? Number one, I did it because I wanted to create, you know, hype and gears for the final. Because again, you know, we're in the final again and we possibly can win it. What's the third time in a fucking row, which is insane. And then secondly, I saw it as trolling New Zealand fans. Like I wanted to troll again, you know, I just call shit. That's what I do really on social media. And I wanted to troll New Zealand fans and make them be like, you know, what the fuck? Look at the South African. They're so cocky. They're ringing tattoos. Like they're winning the World Cup already. And yeah, obviously it blew the fuck up. I got.
You do have a ton of actual tattoos.
Covered.
You're covered in them. So, I mean, like, when did all of that start? Because, you know, for some people, that's an addiction all on its own. But there's stuff that people do that they tattoo themselves with that is very meaningful and they think about every single one. And it's not like just some random thing they do when they're drunk with their friends in Thailand.
Yeah. I mean, some people, it's not just that 100%. I actually had a friend recently come back from Thailand. He got drunk and got the most liquor tribal tattoo.
But here's the World Cup one for anybody who didn't know. That's the fake World Cup trophy that you had done on your thigh. So you don't have that. That's gone.
No, that's gone. Yeah, that's gone. Shout out to Good Things Tattoo. It's a tattoo parlor that does my tattoos. And
That's awesome.
Unfortunately, not real.
So disappointed, considering the fact that we won the World Cup and then for like 2 weeks straight. Like South Africans are like, yeah, New Zealand, you're not going to hear the last from us. And they beat them in almost every other sport. Like, come on.
Literally.
Now.
It was amazing. But the other thing is, even if I wanted it to be real, I couldn't do it in time. So because I came up with the idea on a Thursday and I was flying to Joburg the next day. And I literally had like 2 hours to pull this off before I had to fly to Joburg. So even if I wanted to get the tattoo, I didn't even have time to do it. I literally was boarding a flight the next morning. The tattoo parlor was closing soon. I was like, okay, fuck it. Let's just fake it. Let's just put it on my leg, fake it. And then it is what it is. But like, yeah, you know, so even if I wanted to do it, like I couldn't have even done it.
So I love this. This is Tick, now available in a pill. Look at this.
You stupid puss. Do you struggle to concentrate? Do you find it hard to complete simple tasks? Then try our new innovative product from Vericuck. Introducing Tuck. Now in a pill. For easy on-the-go consumption. With ingredients locally sourced from the streets of Cape Town, Tuck is designed to help you get anything done with maximum efficiency. Just take it from one of our very satisfied customers. Since taking Tuck, I have lost my family, my anal virginity, and my teeth. But my house is spotless and I can work 24/7. So, there you have it. Get a supply of Tick today. We had a Black Friday special the other day. I hope you guys got involved in that.
Oh, I love that. Tick in a pool.
I love how you lost your teeth.
Yeah, I lost my teeth. As you can see, I got them back now. I've got some veneers put in, some Gucci.
Oh, man. All right, here's another one. Look at this.
Are you a tenderpreneur struggling to find the right tenders to match your corrupt and greedy needs? Well, look no further with Tender. Blow your load with all the government tenders you can dream of. Simply swipe left for the ones that hurt your haul, or swipe right for the ones that tickle your pill. And that's that. So sign up now and let's get fucking rich with Tinder.
that's
like Hope Nine was hilarious. Skits. Let's corrupt South Africa together.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, it's like I mean, play on Tinder and Tender. I love that. I mean, that's one of my favorite skits that I've done.
That's very clever. And wouldn't it be great for all these corrupt assholes if they actually could just use an app? Because literally. I mean, they might as well
bring out an app.
They might as well. Yeah,
the corruption's so fucking blatant. You might as well just have an app and just be like, hey, well, you know.
100%. So I've noticed I'm in Cape Town at the moment, and I came down on Wednesday, and like it's almost a little bit jarring. Things work. The roads are good. There are metro police. I mean, like, and they're not just taking bribes. The street lights work.
Clearly, that's not in South Africa. Oh no,
it's wild. Never. Like, I didn't even. I swear to fucking God on my life, I didn't even know it was a thing you could bribe cops until I moved to Joburg. I was like, no fucking way. I honest to God, I don't know anyone in Cape Town who's bribed a cop. Like,
no, you'd go to jail. It's like Europe or Australia.
In Joburg, you know, they're blatantly like, what you got for me, you know, and you get the jokes about the coke and the tuna ran in your pocket or whatever. Like, no, it's wild. Like, I am, I mean, I know people in Joburg, like the most goody two shoe girls who have like even bribed a cop. They're giving them like $200, $500. I personally know someone in Cape Town, a wealthy businessman who got arrested, and he offered them $15,000 cash to let him go. And the cop said, fuck you. Like,
wow.
We're looking it up now. Get out of here. No, Cape Town, don't play.
Could
Cape
never Town, happen this side. It could never. They'd be like, ah, chief, let's talk about that.
Yeah, literally. There's no hey, what you got for me there? Like, no.
I might have spoken about this on the show, but I was talking to some friends 2 weekends ago, and they told me about this amazing thing that happened where the Metro Police pulled this guy and his two mates over. They were like older, like dads or whatever. And they were at like a sports match or something. And the cop said to them, okay, you've got to like give us a Christmas bonus kind of thing. And they were like, yeah. I know. We're cool with that. You know, because people, this is how it works in Joburg. So they didn't have the cash on them. So they went to the nearest ATM, which was at some garage. And apparently these cops, they have like a whole process. So they park somewhere where there are no cameras.
Yeah,
and they know everything. They like know where the security cameras are.
Yeah,
and
then they got a whole routine lockdown.
Right, then they send you into the shop where the ATM is, and they go around the side, and then you meet them there, and you give them the cash. Anyway, this whole thing was going on, but these idiot cops, they left the one guy in the car in the police van, and said to him, "You just wait here while your friends go and draw the money." And they were going to pay them like $3,000 or something. Anyway, they go to the car. They go to the shop, they draw the money, and the cops are around the other side. So this guy's in the police van on his own.
Yeah.
He opens the cubby hole, and there's like a wad of cash that they've obviously taken off of a whole lot of other guys. And this dude, to his eternal credit, takes the wad of cash, puts it in his pocket.
Yes!
The police come back. They give the police the $3,000. These guys go with the wad of cash. It's like 65,000 rand.
Basically,
they made a 62,000 rand profit from these bribed cops. And they were like, this is the best deal ever. And I'm like, you know what?
Actually, best trading story ever.
I know. And those crooked cops deserve it. They deserve that. 100%. Oh, I love it.
And now on that note, like, it makes you think, like, how much fucking money do these oaks pocket?
Oh, a lot.
When they do these roadblocks.
And so people, you imagine, that's like 65 grand, and wasn't even that late, so they probably would have doubled it before the end of the night. 65,000 rand in cash in the cubby hole that they've already taken off of. Look, I mean, obviously, if you're driving around drunk, you know, you deserve whatever's coming to you.
Yeah, you should be arrested.
I just love that bad people, sometimes bad things happen to them. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. But it's just wild, like, to think, actually, you know, how much money these are pocketing. And also, guys, like, you know, in my first 6 months of living in Joburg, I went through more roadblocks in the first 6 months in Joburg than my whole life in Cape Town. So, like, it's no wonder they roadblock so fucking much as well, because they are making so much cash.
Oh, yeah. And you don't want to be in Joburg in December. I can tell you that now. Man. I see them mm-hmm. now. They out and about. Yeah. And I can tell you what's worse. So
you
the
need that bonus, the Christmas bonus.
Yeah, but no, it's too much. But I can tell you what's worse. They're much more hectic on the people that reside in the north, right? So I'm from the East Bronx, and I'm like, okay, cool. Like I can get away with it. I'm like, oh no, like I'm sorry, and I smile, get away with it. If they block, if they stop me here in the north, you are taking out money. They just look at my car and they're like, no, you have money, therefore you can pay, you have to pay. And they're like, yeah, so we swipe as well, hey?
And, you, and you're 100% right. They actually like base you on your car. Like I had a friend who lived in the East Rand, and whenever he came into Joburg, he would purposely drive his cut bucky when coming into Joburg. And not his fucking BMW or his Maserati or whatever, because if you're rolling up there in the north with a liquor car, then it's, you know, they charge you more for a fine, you know? So
premium
they've
rates.
Got a whole system. They're very smart.
Yeah, it's premium rates, chief, and you can afford it.
Exactly, premium rates.
But it's amazing how like how efficient even corruption's become. That's why your Tinder app is like not that far from the truth.
Literally.
Right? And I love the Zuma sale. I just want to show everybody the free Zuma sale quickly. Look at this.
Are you tired of shopping malls promising deals of the century? But all you end up with is cuck specials and credit card debt. Well, we've got a real sale for you.
Fuck Black Friday deals.
It's the free Zuma sale
at the biggest shopping mall of them all, South Africa.
And everything is free.
Yes, free.
We've got TVs, forklifts with TVs, food, vaccines,
blood.
Yes, blood.
Did I stutter, puss?
When does it end?
Who knows? Who cares?
The free Zuma sale, now on.
Oh, man, that is so right. That's exactly what it was when those riots happened. It was a free Zuma sale.
It was wild.
And
that's also one of my favorite skits I've ever done. That one also a little bit, I was like, fuck, I might be a bit of drama.
What's the most successful one that you've done in terms of views?
So the most successful one I've done with views, I've sent it to you guys as well. It's called the Wi-Fi hotspot one.
Oh, and let me play it quickly. Tell us the numbers.
That's a wee free hotspot. Fuck yes.
Yeah, your puss!
So it's this, you see those hijacking hotspot and crime hotspot signs, and you think it's a Wi-Fi hotspot.
Hotspot, exactly, but it's a fucking crime hotspot, yeah.
Oh, so that's so good.
That did fucking well. I actually shot that in my lunch break. Me and some of my mates, we were working at Ogilvy Johannesburg, and I had this idea. I wrote the script. I was like, hey, it's fucking lunchtime. Let's quickly go shoot it. We shot it down the road in Bryanston, and that got 3 million views on TikTok.
Shit.
TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook over 3 million views. So that's my fucking top video that I've ever made. That's cleaned up everywhere I've posted on every like social media platform, which is interesting because some videos will blow up big on one platform, but then do like okay on other platforms. You know how it is, your different audiences and whatnot. Yeah. But that video, fucking no matter where I put it, it's just like blown up.
I met someone really interesting yesterday, a guy called Dan Mace. He is he's Mr. Beast's philanthropy guy, and he makes
That's
all these
insane.
Incredible films. Yeah, he's amazing. And I mean, these guys are getting like 20 million views on everything.
Yeah, like on average. Dude, Mr. Beast is fucking insane.
I think it's like 50 million views a video. But he was telling me how much of it is pure mathematics and numbers. It's so incredible how we all think that if you just create great content, you know, people will watch it, they'll listen to it, they'll love it. But actually there's a formula. And 100%. the guys who do this stuff professionally and are making serious money off of it, there's no creativity necessarily involved. And I don't want to paraphrase him because I think anybody who's interested in YouTube will find this interview pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
But he breaks it down. He says there's a way you do the stuff, and it's like you hack the system, and then basically millions and millions of people watch it because of the way you structure the content and you play along with the way that the machine works in the background. It's just absolutely incredible.
100%. Yeah, I mean, Mr. Beast is quite a genius, and I agree with you. You know, some a lot of his stuff, it's not really like super creative, but he knows what people like. He knows what to give them, and they fucking just consume it.
Well, yeah. So Dan does a lot of the stuff for the philanthropy channel, which is also getting millions and millions. What he's doing, like building wells in like East Africa and giving kids shoes, and it's absolutely fucking cool. I just have nothing but respect for people who are like giving back once they start doing well. It's really cool. It'll be coming out soon. That interview.
Yeah, I mean, with Dan Mace as well. I mean, fuck, a South African working for Mr. Beast. I mean, that's fucking insane. You know, like, I know he's always done quite well. As a South African YouTuber, I think he's always been like one of the top YouTubers, but fucking hell, like, when I saw he's working for Mr. Beast, I mean, like, fuck.
It's interesting. Like, Dan has been in media and advertising and film for ages. He's a young guy, but he's pretty much been in it since he was like 9 years old. But Mr. Beast has got, he's got two South African guys. There's Dan and there's a guy called Darren who also works for him in LA, and his girlfriend who we
South Africa
a little while. Yeah, so he's very involved with
South Africa.
He's
taking over, bro.
African takeover.
I know.
Just need to get it up in there, bro.
It is, right?
Actually, they probably don't want me. I'll probably get them cancelled. gets Mr. Beast cancelled. Fuck, that would be quite crazy.
So I think a lot of people would really like next year's election to surprise the world and for us to get rid of this terrible, terrible ANC who have basically ruined the country. But if that happens, wouldn't that make content creation much harder? What do we do without the ANC? Who are we going to take the piss out of? Because the DA are not as much fun. The Freedom Front are not as much fun. The EFF are not as much fun. What are we going to do?
I don't know. I mean, we might just, Gareth, we might, and some people, we might actually just start our own corrupt party, the three of us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to have to. Because 100%, like, you know, they are an incredible source of, like, inspiration. Like, and if we don't have that, it's also like, you know, when Donald Trump was president, you know, like, a lot of the comedians, like, especially Trevor Noah, played on that all the time. And, like, when he left office, like, they, like, kind of ran out of things to, like, talk about because, I mean, you know, love him or hate him, you know, he, you know, was very entertaining, you know. I don't know. It's, you know, that's a scary thought.
Let's embrace that thought, okay? Let's embrace change. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? We can't stay with the same old devil. And we'll come up with new. Well, I think we'll become even more entertaining.
We'll find a way around this. And believe me, the country will be grateful if we have to dig a bit deeper for comedy, but everything works. That would be nice. I mean,
the best comedy is always actually the comedy that you actually really have to like sit and conceptualize and, you know, find some really solid insights, you know. Sorry, on that note, you know, just a little side thing as a creator and a creative and whatnot, you know what actually breaks my heart a little bit is that, you know, when I do like these very like conceptual like skits, like the tender one and that sort of stuff, like those videos actually do really like average. But when I do videos like of just very simple South African like humor, not even like super conceptual or anything, like it's funny, that shit actually blows up more than the stuff that I've actually sat and written and conceptualized. So just on a sad creative note, I don't know what's up with our South Africans. Like, I don't know if it's like too smart or fuck, I don't know, but like
it's not you. I can tell you that much. So like it's not you. A very simple answer to that is videos that you create outside like various platforms. So like TikTok, for example, you use an editor like CapCut or iMovie. It doesn't, and then you put it on TikTok, it doesn't like videos like that. So if you created a video on TikTok, for example, it will push that more. Like it'll be like, oh, you did, like you created this with me, that's great, so I'll promote you. Simple answer, that's it.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you get some people who complain about like foul language and swearing? Because while I think South Africa has a very healthy relationship with swearing, and I personally couldn't give a damn, doesn't bother me at all, I don't fall for that rubbish argument that people who swear have no vocabulary and they're stupid people. And there are stupid people who swear, but they're also equally stupid people who don't swear. And
exactly.
I think if you can use language creatively, and you use the word puss quite often, because it's a very South African word, and sometimes it is the best word to describe something. There is no word like that.
100%. Sometimes, right? Exactly. You know, sometimes there is a moment where, like, there is no other word right now to use other than puss. You know, and guys, on that note, you know, like, you know, the actual definition of being mature is actually knowing when to act appropriately. So you can be foul-mouthed and stuff, but then, you know, when it's time to converse and be smart and intelligent, there's times like that. So, like, yeah. I don't understand what you're saying, Gary. Like, just because you swear a lot doesn't mean, like, you're dumb. You just, you know, you don't always want to, you know, speak all, you know.
No, you don't need to. And also, if that's what you sound like in real life, and I've met you a couple of times. In fact, someone sent us a picture of you and I at some, I can't remember where this was, like Hogshead or something.
Oh my word. This. Oh my word.
That's hilarious. Oh. But when I've bumped into you. Where were you?
That could have been you, Brad. That could have been you.
Yeah.
If you didn't drink as much and you didn't have the tattoos, and Gareth, look at you. That could have been you.
but this is the point, is that actually in real life, you are exactly the same. You sound this. I mean, you're not like this ridiculous character.
Yeah.
But you speak like you do in real life. And in your videos, that's kind of the way that you would be. You obviously amp it up when you're doing like bad
breath. Yeah, I've exaggerated for sure.
Yeah. But I think it's also, if there's something authentic about that, which I think people like as well. You're not trying to impress them by using language in a completely ridiculous way, either good or bad. I think you're just being you're being funny, and you're using what tools you have. And some of the time, that's actually a lot simpler than people think it is. Do you actually script stuff? Do you like come up with an idea, just make a note on your phone, and then record it the next day? You said that the one with a hotspot that just came to you during a lunch break. But are there ones that you actually put a lot of work into?
Yeah. So usually when I'm doing that very conceptual stuff, like the tender, for example, that one is scripted. Like I sit and I actually conceptualize the idea, write the script. But it's literally like 50-50. There can be times where a lot of times, 100%, I got my notes on my iPhone and I got like thousands of notes on my iPhone. So like I can be out, you know, in public and whatever, and something can happen or I see something, I'm like, fuck, that could be a rad idea. And then I write it down on my phone. So I would literally say it's like a 50-50% thing where sometimes I'm off the cuff as well. I mean, sometimes in the moment, like I don't even have time to write like the idea down because a moment's happening right now. I'm like, hey, fuck, let me quickly take out my phone right now and quickly like bang out a video in the moment. But like, yeah, it's like 50-50 where it's like in the moment or, you know, I've made a note or I've actually like sat down and be like, okay, like elections are coming up. You know, is this something I can conceptualize for that? Or like, you know, it's the Rugby World Cup. Like what could I do that could be fucking, that could go super viral, like the tattoo thing. I'm like, okay, fuck, I don't have time to do it, but like, boom, let me do it. And that's probably the most viral thing I've actually ever done. I mean, when I did that tattoo, fuck, I had to put my phone on silent. Like, I was getting phone calls and WhatsApps from friends and family. And also, you know what? If you want something to really go fucking viral, don't tell anyone you're doing it. My family didn't know that I was doing this tattoo thing. I had cousins from overseas, family that like, what the fuck have you done? Why the fuck did you tattoo the World Cup on your leg? Are you crazy? And like my mom was messaging me, like no one, like I told no one I was doing it. So if you want to make it go even more viral, you just don't tell fucking anyone. You just like, dude. I had good mates of mine messaging me like, dude, like for real, like, is it real? I'm like, bro, it's real, bro. Like, what do you mean? Boca, boy, we winning. What do you mean? It's ours.
Well, listen, I think that you're doing great work and it's always nice to see people entertaining someone else and entertaining huge swathes of people like you do, millions and millions of views. Good work, dude. And it's nice to have you on the show for the first time. I can't believe it's taken us this long to get you on here.
Yeah, I'm a little bit upset. I thought I'd been caught on here a long time ago. So I'm actually very upset, guys. I mean, fucking great being on the show. Also, I love the show because you are all about, you know, being uncensored and whatnot. So, like, this is definitely the place I would love to come hang out more often. So hit me up anytime. I'll come pull
in. And next time you're in Joburg, come and pop in at the studio. It'd be good to actually sit down and have a coffee with you or something. Good stuff, 100%. Man. Thank 100%. You, Grant. Nice to see you.
Awesome, guys. Have a lovely day.
You too.
Bye-bye. And if you're wondering, there is no George today because George is at the COP28 summit and he was posting stuff this week. But that's it from me and from Simpiwe. And a big thank you to Grant and to Ben and to you, most importantly, for being with us this morning. We will see you on Monday, 6 a.m. Have an awesome weekend, everybody. Don't forget, next week is a short week. We have a bonus public holiday, thanks to Silili.
Yes.
So get ready for that. All right, everybody. Cheers.
Bye. CliffCentral.com.